It's Panthers Radio in association with Zynomics and a Panthers pregame podcast. And they don't come much bigger than this one ahead of the playoff finals weekend, starting with Saturday, 3 p.m. at the Motorpoint Arena as Panthers take on Belfast Giants in that first semi-final, 7 p.m. The second semi-final is Sheffield against Cardiff. Delighted to say that my two wingmen, Jono Bullard and Dan Green, are with us. First of all, Jono, hello.
Hello, good evening.
And also a very good evening to Dan Green, who I'm pleased to say Greener is back in the 21st century. He has technology, although if you were watching this podcast, you wouldn't wonder whether he had got the right technology because he's all over the shop. But Greener, you finally got back in the 21st century. Your email works again and you can rest easy, eh?
Email sorted. Sorted today. Stress over. Back to, as you say, the 21st century. So,
yeah, I even had a colleague mention that they'd emailed you and hadn't heard back from you and was everything okay. So I had to tell you that you were the only man in the 21st century not to have email. But you're back.
Yeah, I mean, I do have email, but temporarily I'm available, but now it's back.
Well, now that's the important news dealt with. We can wind it up and we'll see you all on Saturday. Okay, where do we start? I mean, I think we've got to go back to last weekend. We've not really had a chance to talk about. We talked about Saturday on Saturday night, but we've not had much chance to talk about Sunday. Jono, the key was there that they could have caved, couldn't they, at 3-0 down, and we both were at the game and saw that fast start. But they showed a new resilience in finding a way to claw that one back, didn't they?
Yeah, it was very interesting. Tanner Sorensen's post-game interview, and I specifically asked him about that, and his answer was, you know, in December, we probably would have folded, but we found a new resilience, a bit of metal, a bit of fight, a bit of spirit. And they came back. And I mean, I must admit to having a sinking feeling myself as that third goal went in to sort of wipe out the lead after 10 minutes. But fair play to Panthers. They came right back and scored a couple of goals before the end of the period and showed some real fight and heart to stay in the lead in that tie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm being honest when I say this. I didn't worry at 3-0 down. And my logic was that we've started to score goals as a team at the moment. You know, the past few weeks, we've seen that, starting with those big shootout, you know, dozens of goals in Glasgow and Coventry. So my logic was, okay, we're 3-0 down, but we're just leveling a tie. And we're going to score a goal or two, which, you know, which will then put us ahead. And it turned out, you know, that that's what happened. So I just felt more confident as well that we would get a couple of goals. And personally, I felt that would mean, you know, Flames are going to have to get a couple more. And I always felt that, you know, that was okay. Felt a bit nervy near the end, you know, and anything could have happened. Can't remember, Jono, was the timeout at 3-0?
2-0.
2-0.
So I think it was 2-0 he called it, yeah.
And then another goal followed, but then quite quickly, you know, two followed for the Panthers. Greener, how crucial can be timeouts to stop the flow of a game and maybe, okay, this one didn't immediately go the way, but you know, a coach might gamble and use it early and that can be crucial sometimes, Greener.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Corey's a bit of a master of that. You know, he's the coaching whiz with things like that. And yeah, I think, like you said, obviously in that situation, maybe it didn't have the desired effect, but it's kind of, you know, getting your troops together, but also, especially when you're on the road, it just maybe quietens them down a bit. You know, it's 30 seconds where their crowd might calm down. Their players kind of lose that, you know, edge that they've got. And it's just, I'm sure, saying to the guys, you know, don't worry. That's why we've got the big lead. You know, it's a 60-minute game. Relax, you know. And yeah, I mean, I've seen it work lots of times. And yeah, I think even though Guildford did then get another goal, you know, straight after that, we got two of our own. So you can definitely say it worked in this case.
Yeah, 100%. And Jono, number of people, Corey on the night, some of the guys, and then Mike Hammond, who I spoke with today for Panthers Radio, talked about the Panthers fans. And I know often it's mentioned because it's true that, you know, that the backing at the NIC when it's full is amazing. But, you know, Hammy in particular just said the noise, and we were stood right by them, you know, and I think he's right. He said, you know, the players you know, appreciated. And basically the fans played their part in that comeback. And he makes a point because, you know, there was a massive backing, I don't know what, 100 or so in that corner, maybe more. And their constant sort of, you know, never giving up was a major part in roaring the side back.
Fans were magnificent on Sunday night. There's no other way of describing it. They were absolutely fantastic. Even at 3-0, they went a little quiet, as you would expect, probably shell-shocked more than anything, but then got right back in to back in the lads as much as possible. And the noise when Alvin Lindgren's third went in to tie the game on the night, it was incredible. And yeah, a really, really good following. It was interesting because I told Corey when after the game that there was 55 tickets available on Saturday night, and they'd all sold within 6 minutes of the final hooter on Saturday night to ensure not only a sold out building but a sold out away section as well. And the backing from the fans was nothing short of incredible all night.
Okay, on to the weekend. It's the toughest of asks. It's the best team in the league, almost by a country mile, that they seem absolutely flawless, Greener, don't they? But you know, let's start with the Giants. What, you know, what are their strengths?
Oh, that might take a while. Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it when, you know, I think obviously they're the best team in the league, but I do think they're the best team by some way. I think on, well, I won't go on to their negatives then. I'll just go with their good things. I mean, you know, Beskar Awani's come back and, you know, barely lost a game. Conway's, you know, 40 goals, pretty much, you know, 80, 90 points every year. I think Mark Cooper's probably like under the radar, one of the best players in the league. Six great defensemen, depth scoring, power play. You know, obviously Adam Keefe is, although he's a young coach, he's a very successful coach already. He obviously works closely with Corey. So, you know, he tends to use a lot of the same things. So, yeah, I mean, they've, you know, since Christmas, I'm sure Jono can tell me how many games they've lost, probably two or three games maybe since Christmas. And they've just been on a roll, two trophies already. And I'm sure they've got another one in their sights. So, yeah, it's going to be a massive game.
But Jono, I actually don't know. I actually don't know how many they've lost since Christmas. It's not many.
You failed us. Just
it's not something I've looked at. They've lost two in the last two weeks though, because they got beaten by Dundee.
Glasgow.
They won the league and they got beaten by Glasgow.
They did actually struggle. That's what I was going to say, but I was sort of going with a positive thing. They struggled to get by Glasgow. It looked like, you know, they basically won one and lost one. And even the one they won, it was late on. I mean, Glasgow would have obviously been, you know, all hands to the pump, would have been going for it, you know. But I mean, yeah, whether they've maybe just got a little bit of a, not an actual hangover, but as you call it, a kind of, you know, winning the league hangover, or I'm sure that won't be the case. But, you know, ever since that, they have struggled a bit. So maybe that's something positive.
We all know our good friend Chris Gadsby would have known the stat. he would have outstatted us for sure. But Jono, the team, the Panthers, we go into it, you know, the boys go into it, you know, of course, you know, any team's going to believe they can win it. But, you know, listening to the noises coming out of the camp, seeing how they played, seeing what, you know, they're saying, you know, they're not, you know, the team that maybe doubted itself a few weeks ago and you looked and they couldn't place a pass to each other very well. And obviously those results at home to Manchester and Dundee spring to mind. They're a million miles away from that team, aren't they? And they're a team that believes they now can go on and win this trophy.
Yeah, why not? It's a one-off game on Saturday against a team who we have beaten three times this season. I think people forget that. But we've actually had beaten Belfast three times, once in Belfast as well, twice in Nottingham. So we shouldn't go into that game with any fear. Yes, they're a very, very good side. They've won the league. They've won the Challenge Cup. They've got great scoring, great defence, great net minding. They're a fabulous team. I mean, you can't take that away from them. But why can't we win? Why can't we get to the final? Why can't we win the trophy? We've got there. You know, any one of four teams can win, and every one of those four teams will believe they can win. Why shouldn't we? I think we can win. And like you say, the team spirit seems to be on another level just recently.
Yeah, you're spot on with that. Just want to touch on a few things before we close, including playoff memories. In fact, one while putting together the David Alexandre Beauregard piece, which was fun, something to do with Greener, which I'll come on to in a minute. So let's think back about quarterfinal predictions. We all went for Panthers. We all said Belfast. You guys went Manchester. I went Sheffield.
No, I went Sheffield.
Oh, did you? Okay, Johnny. You were convinced. In fact, to be fair, you were still convinced it was Manchester's at 2-2, weren't you?
Yeah, I felt... Not convinced. But... Not convinced, but I felt they had a very good chance because of what... The way that the quarterfinal tie went on Friday night, Sheffield were in complete and utter control of that tie for 52 and a half minutes until Manchester scored. And then they completely fell apart and allowed Manchester back into it to equalise. And I thought that momentum would go over into Saturday. And Manchester actually scored first.
You're right, yeah.
On Saturday night. And, you know, I saw that come up and I thought, here we go. And... Now, of course, Sheffield then blew them away, so I was completely wrong. So there was probably a bit of wishful thinking on my part, let's be honest. I've seen a lot of Manchester. I know how good they are offensively, and I did feel they had a real, real good chance in that time.
Yeah, maybe some Sheffield fans probably had a sinking feeling maybe when that early goal went in. But the reason I was making that point, how do you call Sheffield against Cardiff, Greener? Where's that one going?
Oh, I think Sheffield are almost a little bit, have been a bit like Belfast, where they look so good, didn't they, around, you know, January, February, and scoring and looking so good. And they kind of, I felt they sort of limped into the playoffs a little bit. Whereas Cardiff have kind of been a bit up and down, but they've almost, you know, that they probably have the better playoff quarterfinal route. I think that, again, will be a very, very close one. I think both games, you know, obviously every fan wants their teams in it. But I think that the four teams we've got really make for two top semi-finals. I think if I had to pick, I would probably go with Sheffield. But, I mean, I just think they've got a bit more scoring punch. I think Greenfield against Bounds fairly even. So I'll go Sheffield, but again, I think it's a really, really close one.
I just don't know, Jono. I mean, if I can say one thing, maybe I'd say someone's going to win on penalty shots. Where is it going, Jono?
Funny enough, I was just going to say not penalty shots, but I think it'll be overtime. It'll be won in overtime. As to who, I couldn't pick it at this point.
I just don't know. Like, Cardiff have got Ben Bounds. Sheffield are very offensive. You got, if I had to push you, Jono, where would you go?
Knowing how they are in tournaments and that they always seem to get the luck going their way, I would probably say Sheffield will take it. Great. And hopefully that's put the mockers on them, but.
Yeah, that answer, somebody who's knocking at the door. I'm going to go now for playoff memories. So I was putting together a little feature with David Alexandre Beauregard, and if you haven't seen it, he speaks so well. It's fantastic to hear him, Greener, good friend of yours. But I saw a great moment. Beau had just scored to put Panthers 5-4 up in that first of the two back-to-back playoff winning goals he scores. The whole arena of Nottingham is going mental. And there you are, Greener, calm as you like, writing some notes on a clipboard.
Yeah, you got to keep even keel, you know, you can't get too high. I mean, we'd obviously been down that game the whole way. I think Sheffield had the lead on and off the whole game. Sorry, was it the final, did you say, against Cardiff?
Yeah, there was two in a row. I'm pretty sure both of them, the camera pans past you in each of the winning goals.
He's filling in the clipboard, yeah.
But the one, the 5-4 goal when the arena's going bonkers, you're just as cool as you like filling in your clipboard. There's, you know...
Yeah, sorry, yeah, it was that game that we'd been behind to them the whole way. Yeah. And you just never, I don't know, I think there was still... You know, 10 minutes left, maybe. And I'm sure inside I was obviously super excited, but yeah, try not to show that and jinx it till right at the end.
Coolest man in Nottingham. There's some great playoff memories, isn't there, Jono, connected? You know, we've been very lucky, certainly, obviously, you know, after the Rasto year in 2007 and then winning it three years in a row, followed by a bit of a break and winning against Coventry. If you had to handpick one of those five, this is a tough one because I'm going to try and think of the answer as well. Which would be your favourite of those five?
I think I'd have to go for the 2-0 win over Cardiff in 2012. For the simple reason that there was so much tension in that arena. And it wasn't until, I think, 52-37, was it, that Beauregard scored the winner, first goal? And all of a sudden, it was like a cork from a champagne bottle just exploding out of the bottle. Just this huge relief, and the whole arena went absolutely crazy. Or certainly the Panthers fans in it did. And I think for tension and drama, and then just the absolute joy as that goal went in, I think that would have to be the pick for me.
I still don't know, Greeno, which was your favourite? I think you must have been involved in four of them.
Yeah, I mean, that Rasto one, obviously I wasn't involved, I was there. That one was awesome, I think, just because it went to a shootout, which obviously they very rarely do. And I think, I mean, you'll probably, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the Panthers were big underdogs that whole series through, you know, beating Sheffield. I almost remember thinking they probably would lose every game, you know what I mean? And they, every time they won. And I just think the elation of the story with Rasto, the shootouts, the, you know, for me watching it, that was awesome. For me playing, I'd say the first one that you mentioned, the one against Cardiff. I think just because obviously it was my first one here, and also Cardiff had won the league. And they were probably the best team. You know, they had Craig Weller and they had a really Voth and a really stacked team. And they'd been beating us the whole game, you know, 2-0, 3-1. And I think just to come back as a, you know, kind of following it, if you were a fan, it must have been such a roller coaster of a game. And it was my first one here. So personally, I would say the first one, yeah.
You can actually make, you know, arguments for maybe any of them, certainly four of them. You know, you've then got the Jordan Fox one, which meant Panthers won the Grand Slam / treble. You know, you could argue for that one. I'm leaning towards the Rasto one because of the reasons really you gave, Greener. You know, Panthers went into it unfancied. Sheffield on paper probably had, you know, the better team. The subplots to it, like we talked about before, the fight between the benches with Regan Darby coming down from the suites in the quarterfinal, you know, Corey Nielsen, this defenseman who had been touted, you know, as one of the best defensemen ever to play in the league, and obviously found life tough to start, but he had an outstanding playoffs and scored two backhand top shelves in the quarters and semis. Trevor Gallant coming in and scoring the game-winning goal in the final, as in the game-winning penalty, the only guy to score in the final in terms of the penalty shootout, the only goal of the penalty shootout. Rasto making all those saves, you know, and I think that was it. An unfancied team that had really struggled in league and cup before then, putting something out of the bag, led by some inspired Trevor Gallant signing and Rob Nienek, you know, wooing over the supporters. That was kind of the fairy tale one. You know, and then Jono, we're kind of missing that 2-0 victory over Coventry. You know, that was a cup and league
2016, yeah.
A cup and playoff double year, wasn't it? And again, the league hadn't gone that well. You know, Corey had to make changes, bringing in what, Quick and another defenseman?
Quick and McDonald.
Yeah.
Quick and McDonald, didn't they? And again, that was another year where this is a pattern here, you know, an unfancied Panthers team who had struggled in league play pulled it out of the bag when it really mattered.
Indeed. Do you want another stat?
Come on, Chris Gadsby. Oh no, Jonathan.
we have played only twice in the Elite League era when we've been in the playoffs. So we've been in the afternoon semi-final on the Saturday.
Wow. So the first semi-final. I didn't know it was that. I was actually thinking earlier, when thinking back to when I was playing, I don't ever remember playing in that early game.
It's not normally right. We don't, because Panthers normally finish mid-table, don't they, to get
so
that?
They usually end up in the evening one. Yeah, but so 2011 beat Sheffield 4-3 in overtime because Sheffield had won the title.
That was the early one, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the early one. And then 2013, we beat Cardiff 6-3 when we were the champions.
Yeah.
And they're the only two times we've played in the first semi-final and we've won them both.
There you go.
There's a good omen to go into Saturday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the Elite League era, Panthers have won quite a few playoff semi-finals. You know, that's, you know, get to the semi-final. They've won quite a lot. There's a few more recently. Obviously, that Sheffield won her a few years ago, the overtime defeat. But yes, I mean, obviously, in that golden era when Panthers were just destroying everything in front of them, it was just routine. I mean, you know, we talk about favorite semi-finals. We talk about favorite wins, but if we talk about semi-finals, and it was one we touched on the other day with David Alexander Beauregard, you know, that semi-final against Sheffield when Lacko got the overtime winner, Greener, that was a beaut, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that was another one again where we were playing, you know, Sheffield. I think they'd maybe won the league, or you know, like Cardiff, been right up there. And again, we were 2-0 down in the game, and then I remember we killer saved the penalty shot from Ben Simon.
Did.
And that kept us. And it was one of those, again, where I think a lot of people didn't think we would win it. And we kind of got back in the game. And obviously, it's the massive rivalry anyway.
Do you remember the two on one? I think it was Ashley Tate.
Oh.
And maybe Derek Campbell and Steve Lee broke it up.
I do. I was about to say which player was it. You're right. It was Stevie Lee broke it up with a dive. Diving stop.
Yeah, that was a great one. I think that whole playoffs, because both those games back to back were, you know, just so intense.
Yeah, you know what? I'd started working for the league then as media officer, and I think I'd worked on the Saturday I was working as media officer, and on the Sunday, but Sunday I think I was doing ringside reporting.
He was on Sky, yeah.
And I remember they scored. And I thought, got to keep my emotions in check. I'm in a different role these days. So I kept my emotions in check and then just ran outside into the car park and let out this big celebration after Lacko had scored. And then, like, must have roared so loud in the car park that I strained my voice. I kid you not. And it did take a lot to strain my voice. Is it in commentaries, you know, obviously in the past. But I strained my voice. And then the next morning was actually croaky just from one roar out in the car park. But no, to get Lacko on, the Nottingham lad, to score that winning goal with Matthew on as well, who tells a great story, which he told at his testimonial about how he didn't think he should be out there, but he went out there and the two of them effectively combined to score the winning goal. If you're talking about best semi-final moments, I think that's right up there with all of them. But
definitely.
That's just, you know, a young Lacko. The way you say Panthers, it ebbed and flowed. Panthers came from behind. That was an absolutely pulsating semi-final. Well, great stuff, guys. I think we've covered it all. If you're still listening to this and haven't got your ticket's still available. Panthers have now gone over into blocks 18 and 19. So fill that up quickly, because the boys believe, and you can feel that momentum is building. Be part of it this coming weekend. But for now, I'm sure we'll speak to you again very soon indeed. But thanks for listening. Thanks, guys, Jono and Greener. And we'll speak to you again real soon.